When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
August 13th, 2024. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast, NXT edition. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. And tonight, Emily May Heller. First time we're broadcasting together. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. family.
Thank you. I'm so excited. This week, I've had so many people. I've been able to work with so many people. So I'm happy to be here again. Last week was George.
Yeah.
Now I get Glenn.
Yes. Glad we're getting to do this tonight. Big night on NXT, two championships changing hands. It looks like we've got some interesting stuff in the build to No Mercy. It's an exciting time, and the CW is going to be here before we know it. We're like 7 weeks away. They're already building up to it. CM Punk week one, Randy Orton week two. Going to boost those ratings on the CW. Before we dive into tonight, anything in the news? Anything we should cover?
I mean, maybe a few things. Do you want to cover it? You want to break it down just quickly, and then we can dive into new champions and all the matches.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy how I feel like it's just been nonstop. I remember a time when not much happened in the world of wrestling on a regular basis, and that time is long gone, because now it seems like every day there's multiple things, starting with the Wrestling Link. It has the story, the backstage news on the contract status of a few TNA stars that have been appearing on NXT. What do you make of this? Jordynne Grace, her contract is up in January of 2025. That'll be here before we know it. Joe Hendry is saying that he signed through the end of next year. The Rascals do have a multi-year deal beyond 2025, but what do you think about this TNA to NXT pipeline that we're seeing right now?
I mean, it's incredible. I think tonight was also proof that it's working, right? I know we'll probably talk about Joe Hendry's appearance tonight, but it's obviously working. I mean, I was lucky to see Jordynne Grace's live moments when, you know, she showed up on WWE programming, and it's incredible. Like, that I never thought in this world that we would see this. And it's a whole other era, and it's really great. And I think it's helping build TNA's brand, and it's helping also kind of give the NXT audience a different, a different side of things as well.
Yeah. It's exciting to see. And I like that they're keeping this connection going. It's very interesting. I've been predicting since this started, like, WWE either, this is the most altruistic phase of them giving back to lesser wrestling promotions, or they've got some, secondary motives here, perhaps. But this is, like, not since ECW have we seen them take this much of an active interest in doing any sort of crossover with another promotion.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I think, obviously, everyone's going to be counting down to when those contracts are up and to see what the next move is. And I think, kind of, you're alluding to that potentially they might, you know, head over to NXT potentially if those contracts are up, right? Is this like a test run? I know a lot of people speculate. Is this the test run to, like, build that audience within NXT and the WWE universe and kind of go from there and see if it sticks?
Yeah, and it's great for TNA. It's interesting because I wonder for what they potentially give up, they're gaining quite a bit in the short term. And I mean, look, this is the hottest TNA has been in 10 years, probably since Final Deletion era, maybe. You know,
yeah, I mean,
it's been a while.
It's the whole team is it from the TNA side. I know has changed a lot in the last year or so, but also some of them have been there a really long time, and they've built and continue to work hard to make it what it is. Like, you saw them, like, it was over 4,000, I think, people sold out their latest show. And it's just a testament to what they're working on and all the whole team that they're making it happen.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, let's dive in. Other new stuff. Joe Hendry obviously doing very well with NXT. We'll talk about that tonight. And I like the little web video they had. Interesting. Tony D'Angelo had Robert Stone in a freak. And then tonight, you know, it didn't go so well for him. Maybe that's finally some karmic payback for the boss.
Is that karma? It might be karma. It's a little like mafia mobster move to like put someone in the freezer there. Not so good.
Well, I mean, probably better that than whatever he did to Lash Legends producer that I'm still not sure if they ever made it out of that trunk.
I don't think we could talk about that. I think it's embargoed. I think we're not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, Drew Gulak, who knows? We haven't seen or heard him, you know, pretty deadly, you know, in witness protection on SmackDown. But let's talk about this tonight. This was an eventful episode of NXT. And after the Great American Bash, I felt like it was a little bit of a return to form. I don't know your NXT fandom. I like that it often feels like a soap opera, which is saying something for wrestling. I think they do the story very well. And tonight, I like that they really balance the in-ring action with the promos and the stories.
And all the segments, yeah. I mean, I like how it did, it had a little bit, it had more segments, I feel like, this week. Because they're coming out of, you know, 2 weeks of Great American Bash, and they're trying to reset the stage, right? And the fact that they had two championship changes in the episodes after Great American Bash is like, whoa, they're still going, like they're still cooking, they're, you know, like they're not stopping, because they have to lead into No Mercy, which we'll talk about, and then also leading into their big debut on CW. So it's just gonna cook every week. We're simmering, we're sizzling.
Well, and it kind of makes sense that they waited, given that they were on Sci-Fi the last 2 weeks. And look, we all know that for all of last week, America by and large was once again fascinated with the sport of breakdancing. And so NXT, you know, they said we need to save those championship changes for next week when people have had proper time to digest breaking at the Olympics.
I mean, I think we were all digesting the breakdancing at the Olympics. I think we're still digesting that.
It's true.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we heard from Ethan Page to start the show tonight and talked about his successful title defense over Orem Mensah, the Great American Bash. But what did you think of this segment with him getting interrupted by Joe Hendry and basically just calling it out, is saying, you know, he's got Wes Lee coming for him, Trick coming for him, Pete Dunne coming for him, then Joe Hendry. I mean, they're really kind of laying out, I think, the next 2 months of Ethan Page's matches here.
Yeah, I mean, Ethan Page is like lining people up, right, to take on as champion. And I'm not surprised Joe Hendry was the one to appear and call him out. And, you know, Ethan Page got a little fiery with his comments about Joe Hendry just being a flash in the pan and just being, you know, kind of is only going to last for a little bit longer. So again, that got Joe Hendry fired up, which I'd like to see that different side of Joe Hendry. And the fans are behind him. You could see him singing along. And obviously Joe Hendry wants to go after the NXT championship. I mean, it's we've been seeing it from the beginning. He's been eyeing that. He's talked about that in interviews and he wants that. And it might be potentially a possibility as well. But then Wes Lee also has some frustrations to get out on Ethan Page, which we saw. So it's getting lots of confrontation lately.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too. Look, Wes Lee, you say last week, sure, he turned on MSK, the Rascals, whatever. But tonight, attacking Joe Hendry, America's sweetheart.
I know. I mean, that is, we were shocked about what Wes Lee did last week, but also Joe Hendry to attack him. Like, that's not a nice guy. Not a nice guy thing to do.
Yeah, no, Wes Lee, the heel turn is legit.
It's legit. It's happening, everyone. Be ready for it. If you're not ready, get on the train.
It is real. So then we go from that to Ava backstage with Mr. Stone and Stevie Turner. Announcing this gauntlet match that's going to be held next week. It's going to determine who's going to challenge Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship at No Mercy. First three contenders, Ren Sinclair, Adriana Rizzo, and Sol Ruka. Mm-hmm. We'll jump ahead and talk about the last three, because this is kind of interesting how they're setting this up now. Then additionally, we have Jada Parker, Kendall Gray, and Carmen Petrovich. Who do you got? Who do you think is going to be the next challenger for Roxanne? And do you think they'll be successful?
Oh, I'm so impartial on this. I really hope it's Ren Sinclair.
Really?
I really hope it's Ren Sinclair. Yeah.
That's interesting.
But I'm not impartial to this. Like, I'm a little biased.
So, okay. I mean.
But I can kind of see Sol Ruka actually. Actually, or even Jada Parker also. Those are like my three. I can't decide.
See, I don't think they're going to take the title off Roxanne, because I think we got some
I think they'll at least get to the number one.
Oh, yeah.
Get to that number one contender spot.
Totally. But I think
Roxanne's on this heel championship run, and it needs to last longer, because she's really doing a great job.
I just don't want to see Sol lose another title opportunity.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I think it might go to Ren or someone that hasn't had a title shot match.
Yeah. Ren would be interesting. You think Carmen, I feel like they've been presenting Carmen as a very legitimate contender since day one. Mm-hmm. I think they could have a really good match. And I don't think Carmen hasn't had enough of a push yet where a loss would necessarily hurt her. Whereas I think with Sol, I think, that will really make Roxy look super heel to have Sol Ruka lose, because the audience will be on Sol's side. But I don't know. I'm excited for this.
No, I think it's always a great idea to, give these ladies a chance to get in there and get that shot for a championship match. All of them kind of bring different things. So I'm interested to kind of see what happens next week, like who's going to win that spot.
Yeah. Well, tonight, Tony D'Angelo and the family took on Charlie Dempsey with the No Quarter Catch crew, most of them at least, for the NXT Heritage Cup. What did you make of this match, and how do you feel about Tony D'Angelo losing the Heritage Cup tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is, it happens. Losses happen. Again, maybe it's a little karma here.
Yeah.
I like the British round rules. Like, I think it works really well. Obviously, we have this history with the Heritage Cup, and has that history with the NXT UK titles and those holders. So I feel like this was a good moment in time for Charlie Dempsey to get this win. I think it was important to establish him this is his second time, correct?
Yes.
Second time holding the Heritage Cup. Yeah. So I'm curious to know, like, what is going to make this different, right? Like, what, like, your second time, okay? Like, what is going to make it different. And you could tell how much he's changed and shifted his style and kind of honed in on that style. But I like this match. I think it, what's funny is on Raw yesterday, we had a 2 out of 3 falls match. Mm-hmm. And then here we had another kind of a similar match. And I thought Tony D'Angelo would get, cause he kind of has a little bit more strong, not as many submission and holds as Charlie Dempsey. And so I thought he would get at least 2 first, but it was tied there again.
Yeah.
At first. So.
No, it was good. It was a very good match. And I like how they literally had Obafemi walk in front of Tony D'Angelo. I like how they did that transition after. I think Tony going back for that North American title could be very interesting. Although again, Obafemi, if I had to pick any champ in NXT right now that's not losing their title anytime soon, it's probably Oba.
When we talk about that match, yeah. Obafemi terrifies me. And I've talked about this many times, but yeah. I don't know anyone who could take him out right now.
Like, yeah, seriously. I mean, he's just so credible. But then we did have Eddie Thorpe versus Lexus King.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Lexus attacking Eddie during a DJ
set. Hot start there. What
yeah.
The heck?
this I feel like this feud has been going on a long time. It's fun. It's fine. I think Lexus getting the win, sure, but I don't know. I think Eddie. I think both these guys have a lot of potential. It's like they just need to get them in compelling feuds with other people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this was like this was about halfway. No, yeah, like 30 minutes into NXT this match, and so maybe a little bit longer. And I feel like we were like a race car starting off, right, with
yeah.
Ethan Page and all that. And so this was kind of like we had to calm down a second, right?
Yeah.
But this, you're right. This feud has been going on for a while, and so. You could obviously see the tensions are building. And so they needed to have this, right? They needed to just like get it out of the way. Hopefully they can both move on and figure out their next targets.
Yeah. Went from that to Trick Williams sending a message to Pete Dunne. Kelly mm-hmm. Kincaid talking to Pete Dunne. Good.
What's continued with Pete building. Dunne? Just causing yeah. trouble everywhere.
It's in his nature, I guess.
I know.
backstage, Last Legend, Jakara Jackson, JC Jane, found Henley, Jasmine Nix getting into it. And then Lola Vice making her way down to the ring. Tatum Paxley following for their match. Kalani Jordan unannounced. Man, I love Lola Vice. I think, her winning makes sense. I think Paxley having this rough go works well for her character. I was actually, were you surprised that after this match, even with Wendy Chu attacking Kalani, like Lola Vice, I mean, really baby facing it up and checking on Tatum Paxley after getting the win?
Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised because Tatum Paxley is kind of that character, that athlete, you know, she kind of mentioned it that like no one's really friends with her. Like she's kind of this outsider, right? And she kind of showed that leading into this match. And so it is interesting that Lola Vice went to go check on her and make sure she's okay, because you don't do that to your opponents afterwards. So it was interesting. And, Wendy Chu's causing trouble. We saw her cause trouble last week as well. And she's eyeing gold, but she's doing it in not the right way. Right. She's attacking, attacking champions before you're in the ring. Right. And not a cool thing to do, but they're establishing Lola Vice as a tough competitor, but maybe has a nicer side. And Tatum Paxley doesn't seem like she wants to have anything to do with anyone. She just wants to compete, get some gold, eventually. But I loved her in this match. She was very strong and really kind of had that grit to her, which was really great to see.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as Alicia's saying, looking forward to Wendy and Tatum teaming up. But yeah, it seems like not going that direction maybe now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a turn later on. Maybe we'll see, Tatum Paxley come up and help Wendy in that match potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe there is some alliance that we're just not seeing yet. And that could be a pretty kind of creepy, fun tag team if we put them together.
Absolutely. We went from this to then Wesley addressing things. And I like that the Rascals are going to be sticking around, because Wes, you know, basically by saying he's showing no mercy in a match against Zach Wentz, setting up like that's going to be the match.
Mm-hmm.
A really personal challenge.
Yeah, it was a personal challenge. It was emotional. I liked how he made it personal by saying, yeah, I drove everywhere. I made sure you got onto your flights on time. I was like holding everything together. And it was really, again, we're seeing this shift in Wesley's kind of mental, emotional state. And he's not, we've seen him attack his friends. We've seen him go against people that we thought were friends of his. So we're seeing this change in him. And this is going to get, obviously, really emotional for him. And so again, no mercy is coming up, and we'll see where that leads.
As Goodfellas pointing out, it's like, are we supposed to be rooting against Wes? That's seeing it live. I was there at Battleground, and the way the crowd loves him, this is, you know what it reminds me of? It's every time Daniel Bryan had a heel run where it was kind of like, okay, like I like you, but I don't like this version of you.
Yeah, it's like you love to hate him, right? Like you're like, oh, I really like him, but oh, you're a bad guy. Like I'm not supposed to like you. And I felt I kind of got that mixed reaction, kind of listening to the crowd tonight during his promo. He went there was a moment where he got really like really hot, and the crowd was behind him, and then like it went back down where the crowd was like, oh, we're not supposed to cheer for you right now, You want to get booed. You want to get the crowd behind you. So it's like an interesting reaction to that promo tonight.
Yeah, it was different. But I like this, and I think him going against Zach Wentz, like that's going to be a really good match. That'll be a lot of fun. That'll have a lot of emotion to it, a lot of history to it.
It's a tweener. Word again. A tweener. Wes is a tweener.
And then Pete Dunne's music hit. He came out. I was talking to him about telling him not to get carried away. And then Joe Hendry came out and attacked. And then like we just had all three men just brawling.
Again, just everyone wants to confront each other. This is what makes it great. It's operatic. Wrestling. It's athletic opera. Like this is in soap operas. This is what's happening. Things are getting, Joe Hendry's not taking any, he just appears and... Wants some title shots.
Do you think Joe Hendry has a long shelf life in NXT, or do you think, and I only say this is no discredit to Joe Hendry, NXT sometimes the live audience gets a little carried away.
They do.
Like they tend to run some things into the ground sometimes. And I worry that if we overdo it with Joe Hendry, it's not going to, you know, they're going to kind of blue pants it, you know, or just kind of, you know, fall out of love with it. I worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern, but I think, you know, I think Joe Hendry's great about reinventing and bring new energy. And he's been doing that every time he's on NXT. So I don't think the NXT crowd and fans will get tired of that, because Joe Hendry knows how to bring something different every time. So I don't see that happening.
Okay. I think more new songs.
I asked him a while ago when I interviewed him, I was like, when are we getting a full new album, and who are you going to collab with? Like, I want to see it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But then we had Obafemi versus Otis for the North American Championship. And so Oba, you find a bit intimidating.
just a little bit, Glenn. He's so scary. He's so big, and I love Otis. Otis is just like a big, like brooding teddy bear with, you know, some huge hits. But I saw a different side of Otis tonight, where he was quite serious. He wasn't his normal, you know, fun dancing. Like he was in the zone tonight.
It's true. I've never seen him do the caterpillar with so much conviction.
I mean, he did it with such conviction.
But I think after breaking into the Olympics, he was like, I got to step this up a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've tried to do what he does and I can't. I mean, I could try, right? Should I try it? No, I mean, I see the camera's not big enough. I can't show you the.
No. Yeah. I mean, I always appreciate a good dolphin dive, but, yeah, no,
next time.
I thought this was a hard-hitting match. This was really good. I think Opa just, he looks so dominant.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, this, he was well-suited here. Like, you can't
It was a put good, him like, up. Yeah. Good matchup. It was a good matchup. It was good. There was that one moment that Otis kind of threw Obafemi through the ropes or a little bit over the ropes, and he, and Obafemi looked a little shook. He looked a little like off his kind of off his grounding and his center, which you don't see from Obafemi very often. Yeah. So it just shows that like Obafemi had to, this was a heavyweight match. These are two huge guys, you know, that are gonna hurt each other. And some, you know, powerful moves from both of them. Obviously Otis pulling some of that Vader yeah. work, those big punches and things like that. And it just shows Obafemi can go against someone from the main roster. And he had to prove that he could do this. And he did tonight.
No, absolutely. And after Oba won, we had Brooks Jensen talking about the struggles he's been through. And I have to admit, this promo had me in the sense where I was like, whoa, this is really quick. And he's like, you know, I was dark. I was in this place. I was out of control. And then I found someone and then putting over Sean Spears. I was like, okay. It was like, dude, it's been 3 weeks. But when they pulled out and then he goes to Sean Spears, he was like, so is that good? We good? Like, I was like, that made it brilliant.
It was such a good reveal because I was watching it, like watching that segment. I was like, why are they looking up? Like, why is the angle?
Yeah.
Like my brain was like, why are they not looking into the camera? Or why is he not like looking, if it's an interviewer, like you're looking kind of here. It was a great reveal. Great reveal. Yeah. I was like, I popped. I was like, oh, okay. Now we're, it was great.
It was cool. It was very well done. Good with the storytelling there. I like Sean Spears is, they could be taking this down an interesting road. I like the idea, and they've done, I don't want to confuse this term because they, you know, obviously what they're doing with the Wyatt Six, what they did with Joe Gacy. They're not doing another cult thing, but I like the idea that they're doing like megalomaniacal self-help guru gone wrong with Sean Spears.
Yeah. They're doing kind of like, kind of like a evil, you know, kind of have that, maniacal, that's the right word.
Yeah, like like Tony villain, Robbins.
You're like
evil Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins was working on behalf of evil as opposed to good, which we all know Tony Robbins is. I mean, clearly. but no, it's a good gimmick. I like this. It's interesting, and it's a nice little twist versus what we've seen before. We went through this, we had Brinley Reese versus Izzy Dame, and you know, they were both upset that they are not in that gauntlet match next week. Izzy Dame got the win here. I like that they're trying to build some drama and stories. And this is a credit to NXT because the main roster sure as heck doesn't do this in the women's division on a regular basis. I like that NXT is trying to build some drama and stories out of stuff where, I mean, they're literally fighting over who should be more upset about not getting an opportunity for an opportunity.
Yeah. They're like, give me the opportunity to be mad about my opportunity I didn't get. Like,
It's good though, right? It's something. I think that the more they could do to kind of try and develop this, the women's division is so versatile and diverse and interesting right now with so many different styles. I like that they're finding ways to showcase them beyond just, you know, standard title matches, tag teams. And
I mean, like Izzy has the volleyball background. We have Brinley who has the cheerleading background. And I like how they've been highlighting all of that, right? Like they really kind of talk about, okay, they were in the ring together in 2022 for the first time. They did their tryouts together. So like they have history, right? And so it builds to the fact that they're here. They know how each other works, but they just don't like each other. It's like simple as that.
And it was kind of funny tonight when they said the like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't play baseball. No, it was basketball. And then I was like, well, what about you? Like, I played this. Like, yeah. I like There's actually a fun potential for drama if they want to get into the NIL program.
Yeah, and I mean, they're like, kind of like making fun of the fact they're like, well, you played volleyball and you played this and that. Like, they're kind of leaning into it, which is really fun. Like, they're kind of breaking the fourth wall there a little bit.
Yeah, like if you're an NXT nerd, like, it is very funny to do NIL drama about different collegiate sports.
Yeah, I kind of want, I want them to do, like, they should have, like, different sports off, like, make it beyond wrestling. Like, they have a basketball game, or, like, they, maybe they have a softball team versus a softball team. Like, they, you know, they have an NXT softball team that doesn't go so well.
Something. More competition. But, so, Ava announced that Joe Hendry, Wesley, and Pete Dunne are going to face off in a triple threat number one contenders match next week to determine who Ethan Page is going to face for the NXT championship at No Mercy. Who do you got with that? I don't think it's Wesley because he was calling out Zach saying No Mercy.
Yeah, I don't think it's Wesley. I honestly don't think it's Pete Dunne either. He has this other stuff happening with Sheamus and all these other rivalries, right? So, like, I don't think it makes sense. And Wesley's building these other rivalries too. So I honestly think Joe Hendry is the person to get the contender spot.
I think because he's not an NXT talent, because he is signed to TNA, I think they're going to try and see what that does, putting him in the main event, to really determine his legs, especially because No Mercy is going to be in Colorado. We're taking it beyond Florida. They want to see, does Joe Hendry draw, you know, out of the Sunshine State?
Yeah, and I think it will be a testament to see, like, are they bringing the NXT titles to other places as well?
Yeah.
Once, you know, if the big win happens, you know. I think it is a test to see, like, the market, see how popular it might be. But I think this is, it would be a main event match.
Oh, absolutely. And because I think it's interesting, though, because if they were going to test the waters and do this as a half measure, it would have been last week having Rascals MSK win the tag titles. Like, that would have been, hey, we're just going to see what happens by having a TNA talent win the NXT championship. You know, I don't know that they're going to go that full on with Joe Hendry, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm seeing the popularity of the NXT softball team versus Raw and SmackDown in a triple threat softball tournament. Oh, I think that needs to happen. Have you ever been on a softball team? Like,
oh, that's very competitive. Yeah.
Oh, it's very competitive. Like if you did it at work and, or even for fun with friends, oh my gosh, I've done dodgeball before and I am so bad at it and I get hurt. So, cause those balls are big and then you're throwing them.
Yeah, no, it's something.
I get hit and then fall.
Yeah, you don't want to have that happen. So the main event tonight was Nathan Frazier and Axiom Fraxium defending their tag team championships against Chase U with Thea Hale, Riley Osborne, and Duke Hudson. So we had Ridge Holland and Andre Chase tonight stepping into the ring. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Fraxium has had so many competitive tag matches. I kind of did figure tonight it was going to give. So Chase U winning was not a surprise, but in a weird way. And I want to talk about the match because they did keep it very, very competitive. But, you know, Chase U was, I feel like Chase U and the D'Angelo family for a while were, the other main characters changed, but they were like two of the five main storylines in NXT consistently for an 18-month period. Recently, that died down a little bit. So in a weird way with Chase U tonight, I personally felt like this was delayed gratification. If this would have happened 3 months ago when Ridge Holland was showing up and just like, oh, I'm in Chase U now, I'm really sad and I'm down about everything and I'm just a sad, sad man. Like, this would have been a great payoff. This was still a good payoff tonight, but it did seem a little delayed given how front and center they were in stories. And recently it's pulled back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Axiom and Frazier have dominated this tag team division. And I think it was, I was a little worried because it was like, it was kind of going over time. And I was like, I wonder how they're going to like break this down. But I am excited for Chase U. I think this is going to help them kind of move past all the things they've been going through the last few months. You know, I think Andre Chase has gone through a lot.
Oh, yes.
So, this
gambling
is
problem, almost losing the
gambling
school.
Gambling problem, almost losing a school. Like, there's a lot here. And so I'm hoping that this is, he's turning a new leaf. This is a new chapter for him. And yeah, I think it's going to be a special time for him.
No, I think it'll be good. But yeah, I mean, their biggest story beat of the last few weeks was that they got new t-shirts. So
I mean, but now they have a reason to sell them because now they're tag champions.
Yes. Wonder, man.
It all makes sense.
Chase Yu and Tony D'Angelo are the two most fun factions to fantasy book because it's like maybe now that JC Jane is healed, she comes back. She wants a cut of something after she saved the school with the calendars.
I mean, maybe.
We never got a satisfying resolution with her and Thea. Thea did not get a big enough victory over JC to really pay off that storyline.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we could see that happen. I mean, is there going to be other people? Like, is Andre Trace going to get bribed for certain things and has to put the titles on the line? Like, I don't know. There could be so many possibilities.
It would be amazing. I will love it if they go back to just Chase Yu being one of the main storylines. Yes, I want Andre to be tempted
to bet on
matches. I want them to get a new female student that does really well, and then Thea gets jealous and sabotages her and has a heel turn. Like,
oh, I mean,
there's
that could
so
happen.
Much. There's so
I
much
mean,
they could do.
There, I wonder what their like enrollment numbers are right now.
True.
So, if they get more students, who knows?
It's good though. I mean, and them winning is good because I think there is so much potential for drama with them having something to lose and having stakes. So it'll be interesting. I think, you know, I've been saying this for weeks, and thank God we're 6 or 7 weeks out from the CW because I feel like they've been slow rolling so much until they get to the CW that I feel like, okay, now is their chance to have a little fun with it before then they're going to really cook with some stuff happening once they're on a major network.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're setting all the back stories and all the, you know, they're laying the groundwork here. And then once they're on the CW, it's going to be full. Cause you have to like establish all the, establish everything now and make sure some of that stuff moves over, or they completely change everything.
Yeah.
And then that's when the CW era starts.
Just the first episode of the CW era. Tommaso Ciampa is, waking up and being, I just had the strangest dream.
Strangest dream.
NXT
champion?
Yeah, NXT wasn't black and gold anymore. It was so colorful.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that
Adam
be funny?
Cole if comes it was, back.
Yeah, Adam Cole. Yeah. It's like all a dream. What?
Yeah, Adam Cole's in the shower. Like, what? You know, yeah. It'd be amazing if that's week one on the CW.
Oh my gosh.
And they're just like, we just erased all this continuity. The Undertaker showing up never happened. It's not canon.
Oh my gosh.
But we'll see. But good show tonight, though. This was a good mix of story and in-ring action. This is what NXT does best. It was a return to form because I got to say, like, I didn't watch all of last week, but Great American Bash week one, I was like, this is too much wrestling.
You said it was too much wrestling?
It was too much wrestling, not enough story, because that's the balance. That's what I want. Look,
well, they balanced it the next week.
Yeah, here's the thing, Emily. If I want athletic competition, I'll watch real sports. That's not why I watch wrestling.
You want the story, the drama.
Yes.
You want the emotional baggage that comes with it all, Glenn.
Yes. In my mind, wrestling is the perfect mix of athletic competition and comic books.
Yeah. I mean, it's an athletic soap opera.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think tonight, judging by that criteria, NXT was an A show tonight. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, and it's great podcasting with you tonight and talking about this.
Yeah,
and,
it was so much fun.
We're going to do it again. I am going to be off for like, I won't be here next week, but I'll be back the Tuesday after for NXT. Emily, where can everyone find you online?
Yeah, you can follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. I appreciate you all joining me for my first few weeks at Wink. You can, I'm doing New Japan stuff. I'm doing Vision Pro Wrestling stuff. We have our last show for a while on Saturday. And yeah, just follow me on socials. You'll see where I'm at.
Yes. I can watch NXT and SmackDown. I just don't have the patience or bandwidth to go beyond that. It's just, I've been doing this too long now. You know what burnt me out, Emily, is there was a time on this very podcast when AEW and NXT were both on Wednesdays. And at the time, someone said, watch both at the same time and then cover both afterwards.
Yeah, it's a lot. I remember, you know, Jack Farmer. I remember, indeed. I covered NXT and then he had to start covering AEW. And I was like, what is this? And so we had like a little battle of the podcast. But it was all with love.
Danny, I think breakdancing went about as well as it could have its first go in the Olympics. There were some highs, there were some lows, and there were some moments I'm still not fully processed yet. But
Have you done the kangaroo yet, Glenn? Do the kangaroo. Everyone, do the kangaroo. Yeah.
Ray Gunn, like, genius. What she did as performance art was absolutely genius at the Olympics.
I am sending so much love to our Olympians from the U.S. and all around the world. They did a phenomenal job. I cried during the closing ceremonies because it's going to be in L.A. next in 2028. So yeah. I'm excited.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Follow Emily and Emily May Heller. I'm Macline Rubenstein. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.